This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ويقول الإنسان أإذا ما مت لسوف أخرج حيا أولا يذكر الإنسان أنا خلقناه من قبل ولم يك شيئا فوربك لنحشرنهم والشياطين ثم لنحضرنهم حول جهنم جثيا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ما بعد, we are continuing in our series about the Day of Judgment and what we know about the Day of Judgment. And of course, all of our information about the Day of Judgment is a part of our Iman bil Ghayb. It is a part of our knowledge of the unseen. And the only source that we have about the information about the Day of Judgment is the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. And therefore, whatever comes from these sources, we accept and we believe as a part and parcel of believing in the unseen. Now, we've been talking quite a lot about various aspects of the Day of Judgment. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk about one other aspect that is very explicit in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And in fact, it is mentioned so numerously in our sacred texts that so many of our treatises about theology, about aqidah, they mention this issue as a part of our fundamentals, that in order to be a faithful Muslim, you need to believe in this concept. And what is the concept? It is the concept of the mizan, or the concept of the scales, the mizan or the scales. So today, inshallah ta'ala, it will be all about a very comprehensive summary, quite thorough, inshallah ta'ala, about the reality of what we know about the scales on the Day of Judgment. Now, of course, the word mizan, it means the scales, and the Quran and Sunnah is very explicit with this word. It has been used over two dozen times if you look at all of the ahadith that mention the concept of the scales. And the concept of the scales, the mizan, it is something that would occur most likely after the hisab, after the judgment, after the scrolls, even though, as we know, it is not explicit about the chronology of events. Now, what does the word mizan mean? The word mizan comes from the Arabic wazana, wazana. And wazana, of course, means weight. And wazan is your weight. And the classical meaning, of course, the lexicon authors, they mention that wazan not only means your actual weight, but it also implies your status and your merit. And it also implies justice. And mizan is the noun of the instrument that is used to do wazan, or the instrument that is used to weigh. And by the way, just a bit of a tangent here. So the Arabic language is a morphological language, is a language that is of the Semitic branch of languages, and it is very, very unique. It is unlike the languages of the Romance tradition, English and Latin and Spanish and French. The Semitic languages, and in particular Arabic, is the most developed of all the Semitic languages. One of the unique things that really makes the Arabic language stand out is the conjugation of the verbs. The fact that one verb, let's call it fa'ala, fa'ain lam, one verb, which is the verbs are typically three letters, sometimes two, sometimes four, but typically three letters, one verb can be conjugated to over 200 structures. And those structures, those morphological structures, this in Arabic is called the language of sarf, the language of sarf. These morphological structures, once you learn the morphological structures, you will come across the pattern, you will be able to extract the three-letter verb. Once you know the three-letter verb, you can automatically extract dozens, if not hundreds, of words from that one three-letter root. And this is unique to the Semitic languages. And so where is all of this heading? Just to give you an FYI, that the word mizan, it actually comes from the morphological structure that indicates the instrument that is used to do the verb. There is a morphological structure, for the advanced students, it's mif'al or mif'al, which indicates that whatever wording comes with mif'al or mif'al, it indicates the instrument that is used to do the verb. So for example, miftah is the key from fataha. So fataha is the verb. You can derive from the verb fataha to open miftah, which means the instrument for opening the door. The same is misbah, which is candle. And of course, even those who just barely know a little bit of Arabic, subh means yani the light or whatnot. Misbah is the candle. For example, mi'wal, for example, the axe. So all of these things, they occur on the morphological structure sarf. And that's one of the reasons why Arabic is so, so powerful and beautiful, that you can take a verb and permutate it, conjugate from any verb, literally dozens, if not actually more than this. And so mizan is the instrument that is used to weigh wazn. And of course, it is well known that it is a scale which has been used from the beginning of times. And of course, the instrument itself of the scale has symbolized justice from the very beginning of time. In fact, even in our Western cultures here, that if you go to a courthouse, generally speaking, you will find, you know, a blindfolded person carrying the scales, right? And the notion of the scales meaning to impartially weigh the evidences back and forth and to see which one is weightier. And by the way, again, allow me to go into these tangents. I've been locked up without being able to go into tangents for quite a while. So let me now explore these tangents, inshallah ta'ala. We'll get back to the topic as well. But just FYI, interesting. The issue of scales indicating justice is not just in the Quran. It is something in many traditions and cultures. In fact, even in the ancient Babylonian textbooks, in fact, in the famous Egyptian book called the Book of the Dead, the pharaonic religion, the ancient Egyptians, they had a religion, and their religion is preserved in something called the Book of the Dead. That's their holy book. And in this Book of the Dead, there are actually images of a goddess that they had that is carrying the scales of justice. And that notion was, of course, eventually transformed into Roman times into an actual goddess that they called the goddess of justitia, the goddess of justice. And it was a lady who would have scales. And then and in Roman times, the goddess, the justitia goddess, would actually have a temple and a shrine. That notion trickled down to Christianity, which trickled down to Europe. And around the 12th or 13th century, we begin to see this notion of a lady that is blindfolded, that is carrying the scales, that is symbolizing justice. And all of this actually goes back to the concept of the lady carrying scales. It goes back to ancient Egypt and has been trickled down all the way to our modern Western culture. And by the way, again, the tangent of the tangent, but it's all, inshallah, interesting and it's relevant, inshallah. What if somebody were to say that, oh look, your Quran mentions scales as justice, and it's found in Babylonian traditions, it's found in Egyptian traditions, it's found in ancient Christianity. So in fact, your Quran is the same motif as all of these other traditions as well. It's all of this mythological folklore. The answer to this is very straightforward. And this is the response that I've also given when people have asked me about the issue of the flood of Nuh, the great flood, which they say that the concept of a great flood is found in every single tradition in the world. There is not a single civilization except that it has a notion of a flood. In fact, not only ancient, creation myths in Babylon, not only in ancient Egypt, not only in civilizations that we're aware of, even when they were, when they first came across the Aborigine, populations of Australia, and anthropologists studied the Aborigines, they came across the creation story of a myth that they said of a great deluge, of a great flood, of mankind emerging from a flood. And so they found the notion of a flood myth, they call it. This is what they call it, even in the Aborigine people. And so, of course, skeptics say, oh, your religion is no different from all of these other faith traditions. And of course, this is very, very simple to respond to. We can flip it around 180 degrees, and we can say the very fact that all of these civilizations have a flood story indicates that there was in fact a great flood at some point in history, and that all of these civilizations preserved that notion of a great flood. The fact that justice is symbolized with scales and is in fact mentioned in the Quran as well, وَنَضُعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ. Again, this is very explicit in the Quran. We shall place the scales as a sign of justice. This is very explicit in the Quran. The fact that the Quran mentions it, and it's mentioned in the ancient ancient Egyptian texts, all that it indicates is that this has been from the beginning of humanity, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the earliest of early religions, He revealed this concept. And so it kind of remained embedded in the human psyche and subconsciousness until we find it in all of these different cultures that are non-Islamic, and we find it in the Quran as well. Anyway, that was a long tangent. Let's get back to our lecture for today. I was talking about the issue of mizan, and I mentioned that the Quran and Sunnah is very explicit about affirming the concept of mizan, and this is something that is quite clear. And I'll mention some of the main verses. For example, Surah Al-A'raf, Allah says that wal waznu yawma idhin al-haq, and on that day the wazn, and here it means the weighing. So Allah talks about the verb or the concept of weighing. The weighing on that day is going to happen with truth, bilhaq. And Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 47, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, and we shall place the scales of justice on the day of judgment. So Allah is mentioning the scales of justice. There's going to be scales, and these scales will symbolize and will execute qist. And qist is, of course, justice. And by the way, in another talk, I've gone into the tangent of the English word justice and the Arabic word qistas, and why and how they are related together. Qistas, justice, they go back to the same root, as I have mentioned. Now, the point being, again, the Quran is very clear. In Surah Al-Qari'ah, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. So the Quran mentions the scales being heavy and the scales being light. And this concept is mentioned in five verses in the Quran, multiple verses. For example, Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whosever scales are heavy, they shall be successful. وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ, and whoever scales was light, فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ, they shall be in Jahannam to abide therein forever. So we have here the concept of heavy and light scales. Surah Al-Kahf, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. Those people who rejected Allah and disbelieved in Him, their good deeds are destroyed, so we shall not establish for them the weight of scales on the day of judgment. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ وَزْنًا. They shall have no weight on the day of judgment. The fact that they have been negated to have weight because they have rejected Allah indicates that those who believe in Allah are going to have that weight or that scales on the day of judgment. So if you gather just the Quranic verses, it is quite clear that the scales are real. Allah says that we're going to make it bilhaq. This negates metaphor. If somebody were to say the scales are indicative, the scales are symbolic of Allah's justice, we say the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal explicitly says وَنَوْضُعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ بِالْحَقِّ, that وَوَالْوَزْنُ يُمَيْدِنِ الْحَقُّ, that Allah is going to say we're bringing it with haqq, therefore it negates symbolism. The scales are not symbolic. The scales are real on the day of judgment. They are meant for justice, true. They symbolize justice, true. But there are actual scales that are going to come on the day of judgment. Also, the fact that Allah says the scale will be heavy, and if they're heavy, the person will be successful. The other scale will be light, and if they're light, they will not be successful. This all indicates the realities of the scales. As for the hadith literature, there are a number of very, very explicit hadith about them. Some of them authentic, some of them not so authentic. Of the most authentic hadith and of the most famous hadith about the concept of scales is the hadith that Imam al-Bukhari chose to be the conclusion of his Sahih al-Bukhari. And he has a chapter heading the chapter of establishing the scales on the day of judgment. And the very, very last hadith of Bukhari. Bukhari begins with إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And Bukhari ends with the famous hadith, كَلِمَتَانِ خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Two are the phrases or words that are very light on the tongue and very heavy in the scales and very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim. Imam al-Bukhari began with the concept of intentions, and the intention must be pure. And then he ends his book with the concept of actions and deeds, and words. You have to act upon those intentions. It's not just good enough to have intentions. You have to do those intentions. And Imam Bukhari also concludes his book with this notion of the Day of Judgment to remind us that all of our journeys, because the first hadith is hijrah, our life is a journey. The first hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مِنْ إِمَانَوَا فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ Whoever is hijrah. It's as if we are on a journey. And the last hadith he chose, what is the end result of that journey? Where will our journey end up? It will end up on the Day of Judgment. And on the Day of Judgment, we have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our scales are going to be weighed, and whoever's scale was heavy shall enter Jannah. And so Imam al-Bukhari is reminding us in his Sahih, we had better have heavy scales. The point of that hadith, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explicitly said, ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ They shall weigh heavy in the scales. And in fact, in one hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad, the mention of scales is actually listed in the famous hadith of what is Iman and what is Islam. It's actually listed. So a Sahabi asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, what is Iman? What is faith? Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded, Iman is to believe in Allah and the last day and angels and the books and the prophets, and to believe in death and life after death and heaven and hell and the hisab, which is the accounting, and the mizan, point number 11, and to believe in the mizan, and then number 11 and number 12 he said wal qadr, and to believe in all of qadr, the good of it and the bad of it. So the man said, if I believe in all of this, am I a believer? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, you are. So notice in this hadith, which is a longer hadith of the famous one of the six pillars of Iman, he mentions a longer list. And in that list, he specifically mentions wal mizan, to believe in the mizan. Also in the famous hadith of Sahih Muslim, our Prophet ﷺ said, At-tahuru shatrul iman. Doing wudu is half of Iman. Meaning whoever is concerned with wudu and doing wudu all the time and praying regularly, that is half of your iman. Walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan. And saying alhamdulillah, it fills the scales on the Day of Judgment. Tamla'ul mizan. And subhanallah walhamdulillah fills up all that is between the heavens and the earth. And the prayer is a light. And the charity is an evidence. And being patient shall be an illuminating force. And the Qur'an is either an evidence for you or against you. So this beautiful hadith, it explicitly says, saying Alhamdulillah fills the scales. Walhamdulillahi tamla'u al-mizan. So one Alhamdulillah said from the depths of the heart and acted upon, it will fill the scales. So once again, he is affirming there is something called the scales. He is affirming that good deeds are going to be in the scales, and he is affirming that good deeds are not all of the same size. Some good deeds are bigger than others. And of the biggest of deeds is the dhikr of Allah. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ Dhikr of Allah is the biggest. And our Prophet ﷺ is saying one small phrase in the previous hadith, Subhanallah walhamdulillah, that it makes the scales heavy. In this phrase, Alhamdulillah fills the scales. So the dhikr of Allah is something very important to have for the scales. In the hadith of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, our Prophet ﷺ said, there is nothing that is heavier in the scales of the Day of Judgment. لَيْسَ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ Then what? حُسْنَ الْخُلُقْ Having good manners. So once again, we have this notion of good deeds being heavy in the scales. And our Prophet ﷺ is encouraging specific good deeds in order to have heavy scales. So we had better be paying attention. We had better be contemplating that these aren't just abstract notions. And again, I've said this so many times in my entire series when we talked about the signs of Day of Judgment. Then we moved on to the Barzakh. Now we're talking about the Judgment Day itself. Inshallah, if Allah gives us life and health and Iman, we're going to move on to actually talking about what we know of heaven and hell. All of these knowledge-based lectures, dear Muslims, they're not just meant for intellectual curiosity. They're not just meant to satiate what if, we're supposed to believe and then act upon those beliefs. And so here we come across a set of ahadith about making things heavy in our scales. And our Prophet is specifically mentioning dhikr and subhanallah and alhamdulillah and also good manners. Nothing is heavier than good manners on the scales of the Day of Judgment. And in another hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad with a slightly weak chain, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Bakhin bakh, khamsun ma athqalahunna fil mizan. La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa subhanallahi walhamdulillah." And a righteous child that passes away, and the parents are patient at the passing of the child. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, what will make you understand? Five are the things, how heavy they are in the scales. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, and then the death of a loved one. If you're very patient, especially a child, and you're patient at that, it will be the heaviest you can imagine on the scales of the Day of Judgment. So this is again a very explicit hadith about the issue of good deeds being put in the scales. There's a very beautiful narration in the Sunan of Abu Dawood. In the chapter of the scales, there's an entire chapter called the chapter regarding the scales. Aisha radiallahu anha says that one day she thought of the fire of hell and began to cry. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited her at that time, or walked in, or maybe he was in the room, and he said, "What is causing you to cry?" So Aisha radiallahu anha said, "I remembered the fire of hell and I began to cry. So, O Messenger of Allah, will you remember your family on the Day of Judgment?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, three are the times no person will remember another person. Three are the times no human shall remember another human. Number one, عند الميزان, when the scales are placed, until a person knows is his scale heavy or not. Number two, at the time of the handing of the scrolls, until a person knows that which hand is his scroll going to be put in, the right hand or the left hand or from behind him. And number three, when the bridge is placed over Jahannam and you have to cross that bridge. So these are the three timings. Now, by the way, this hadith, beautiful hadith, so much wisdom and beauty. At the same time, you should know that there is a very, very slight weakness in this hadith, and that is Al-Hasan al-Basri, the famous Tabi'i, who died 1110 Hijrah. Al-Hasan al-Basri is narrating from our mother, Aisha, and in all likelihood, he did not meet Aisha. He is simply saying from Aisha, so there's an unknown middleman. And this is the common, very well-known issue of the Marasil of Hasan al-Basri. And of course, that's another topic altogether for those hadith students. It's well-known, there's an entire PhD written about the Marasil, or the when Hasan al-Basri narrates from the Sahaba, because Hasan al-Basri is of the late Tabi'un. And he's not of the early, so there's a lot of companions he did not meet. But in those days, it wasn't a big deal if they just said, "Oh, Abu Huraira said," or whoever said, and he didn't actually meet him. The missing link was dropped because it wasn't a big deal. Of course, later scholars, we need to know, "Oh, Hasan al-Basri, who did you hear it from?" So because of this, there's a very slight weakness. Nonetheless, as you are aware by now, and this is, I've been saying this for many, many years now in my lectures, that look, the concept of weak hadith, we may narrate them as long as we don't, firmly believe that they're not theology. But it's not a problem narrating them, and to mention to the people that, hey, there's a slight weakness here and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And if the weak hadith has an encouragement to do a good deed, no problem, we can then even do that good deed and believe that it is a weak hadith and Allah knows if it's authentic or not. Now, anyway, the point being that there is a weak hadith that mentions again this issue, but we don't even need it. There are many hadith that mention the concept of mizan. Okay, next point here. So we've talked about the Quran and the Sunnah. Very clearly talk about the mizan, talk about the mizan being heavy, talk about good deeds being put in the mizan, talk about the fact that good deeds come at different sizes and different densities and different weights. Okay, what are the descriptions of the mizan? Well, when it comes to describing the mizan, the fact of the matter is that the Quran and the Sunnah are silent on the details. We do have what are called athar, statements from students of the Sahaba, from the third generation, second generation. We have people who, they took it maybe not necessarily from, the Sunnah or whatnot, they took it from other sources. Israiliyat is called, for example. And so we find in the earliest books ever written about theology, we find sometimes descriptions, but to the best of my knowledge, I have yet to come across an explicit hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that's authentic, that describes the scale. And so what we can do is just mention that, look, in our earliest of books, there was this notion that the scale is going to have two sides to it. And of course, this is the common way scales are. I mean, there's no scale, generally speaking, that is, well, there are, but I'm saying there's no common scales as three or four. You generally have two scales, right? And that there's a middle, you know, thing that is keeping the two scales in check. So these are things that we find in our books, and there's no problem in reporting them, but I have not found it in an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah azza wa jal knows best. We also have mentioned in some of these books that Jibreel alayhi salam will come with the scales, or he shall be carrying the scales. We have mentioned that the scale, one side of it will be on the side of Jannah, and one side will be on the side of Jahannam. So if the Jannah side becomes heavy, you're going to go to Jannah. We also have that the scale will be placed in front of the throne of Allah, and on the right will be Jannah, on the left will be Jahannam. And so if the scale is right, it will be here, and the left will be there. We also have this notion of one side of the scale shall have a light shining on it, and the other will be dark. And so the good deeds will be in the light side. And therefore, if it is heavy, everybody will see. And if it is light, everybody will see. All of these notions, they are not found in explicit ahadith that are authentic to the best of my knowledge. So no problem that we say some of our early scholars believe this, but it's not a matter of our theology to believe. It is a matter of our theology to believe in the mizan. And again, just FYI, if you read some of our treatises of theology, the most famous treatise is, of course, ever written in the history of Islam. It is At-Tahawi's Creed. At-Tahawi's Creed. And of course, all of these creeds were written by scholars at various time frames, and they are very interesting to study and read. But we always have to remember that the creed of At-Tahawi is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something that a great scholar in the 4th century of the Hijrah, At-Tahawi dies 310. So it's the 4th century. A great scholar of the 4th century compiles what he believes is the creed, and he places it in this book. Do realize it is a great attempt. It is a blessed attempt. No other creedal book has been accepted across the spectrum of those who believe in the Sunnah, like At-Tahawi's creed. But remember, it is not revealed from Allah. And there are other creeds that have been written as well by people interested in the Sunnah, and those creeds have slight differences and whatnot. So the point being, put that all in mind. Now, if you look at those early creeds, and there are many, many in number, and they have been continuing to be written up until our times, many of them explicitly list, and of the principles of Iman is that we believe in the Mizan. And At-Tahawi explicitly affirms the Mizan. And another authority of early Islam, Ibn Battah, and Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, and al-Lalaka'i, and so many others of our early scholars of Islam who are writing about creed, all the way down to As-Saffarini as well, who died 200 years ago, 300 years ago, wrote a very famous book about creed, and it also is a very comprehensive book, and he says, and of our creed is that we must believe in the Mizan. Did any Muslim group deny the Mizan? It is mentioned that one strand of the pseudo-rationalists, they're called the Mu'tazila, that one strand of Islam, that they said the Mizan is metaphorical for justice. That there is not an actual Mizan. It's not going to be an actual physical scales. And they dismissed the ahadith because they did not follow the ahadith, and they interpreted the Quran to mean that whenever Allah says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ, we shall place the scales of justice, they said the reference is to justice and not the scales. And the concept of mizan to imply justice, this much they are valid in, but as we explained, the Quran and Sunnah is simply too explicit to be metaphorical over here. So Allah knows best. We disagree with their metaphorical interpretation. And we say that the text of the Quran and the text of the Sunnah are explicit. The famous Imam As-Saffarini, whom I already mentioned, he says that the tradition has explicitly mentioned that the Mizan is a real Mizan, and that it has two sides, and that it has a middle pillar. Now, by the way, the two sides and pillar, I have not come across it in hadith, but in any case, that is what the many of our scholars say. And this is the position of Ibn Abbas and Hassan al-Basri, and it is the position of many trends, including the Ash'ari trend and our scholars by As-Safarini. When he says our scholars, he means the Hanbali or the Athari creeds as well. And he says that the ahadith have become mutawatir, and there is unanimous consensus upon the people of truth of the Muslims that we believe in a literal mizan. So, it has become a big deal, the mizan. It's not a trivial thing. And so we believe in the mizan. Jayid. Okay. I already mentioned a few lessons ago that the chronology of the Day of Judgment is not set in stone. And the question arises, when will the mizan be set up? Will it be set up during the hisab, before the hisab, after the hisab? And if you look at the Quran and the Sunnah, there does not seem to be an explicit chronology about the mizan and the hisab. Nonetheless, Imam al-Qurtubi, who is one of the most well-written authors, he has written one of the most comprehensive books about the Day of Judgment. Imam al-Qurtubi says that the mizan is going to occur right after the hisab. So after the hisab, the reckoning, and that's what I'm following in my series right now, is that we did the hisab, and then we're now doing the mizan. And so the mizan will come after the hisab, and he bases this on the common sense notion of what exactly is the hisab and what exactly is the mizan. The hisab is going to be the reckoning that will take place between Allah Azza wa Jalla and the person. And the mizan is the manifestation of that reckoning. Once the reckoning has been done, we need to see actual proof and whatnot. So he says logically that the mizan will occur after the hisab. And again, all of this is no problem to affirm. And we will all find out on that day. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make that day easy for us. Another issue that comes, when will the famous issue of the fountain, the hawd, come into place? Our next lesson, inshallah, next week will be about the hawd. And when the hawd will take place vis-a-vis the mizan is a point of controversy. Many, many ulama said that the fountain of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will occur after the hisab and before the mizan. So there's going to be an interlude. And many have said that it's going to occur after the mizan. And we do not know for certain, but I will come back to this point next week and I'll mention various controversies over this issue. And perhaps, yani, there is no chronological order. Perhaps everything's happening somewhat simultaneously, and some people will be doing this and some people will be doing that. That's something that we cannot fully comprehend on that day. Just be aware that there is some discussion in our medieval tradition about this issue of when, what is the chronology of the mizan versus the hisab versus the suhuf versus the hawd. All of these things we have done except for the hawd. We'll be doing that inshallah next week. Okay, next point that we're going to be covering is that we talked about the mizan. We talked about its evidences and that it is real. Now, the question arises that who is going to be subjugated to this mizan? Is it going to be all of mankind? Or is it going to be only those who believed in Allah Azza wa Jal, and they will then be tested with the mizan? And this is something that the majority of scholars have said, that the mizan is only for those who claimed faith. As for those who did not claim faith, well, then there is no point of the mizan. Because if they didn't believe, there's no hope. And so there's no point to have the mizan, and so there shall not have any mizan whatsoever. And this is the dominant opinion. There is a small group of ulama. Sheikh Rashid Rida of the last century writes about this in his Al-Majalat Al-Manar, and he has an entire article about this issue. Sheikh Rashid Rida died in 1935. He is the greatest ulama and thinker of the last century, 100 years ago, and he was at the forefront of scholarship of his time, and he impacted the entire globe. He was, I would say, the first global scholar who impacted globally while he was alive. Most other ulama, they were regional, but because of technology, because of publication, whatnot, Allah Azza wa Jal gave him a certain status amongst the ulama because of the time frame that he lived in, the telegraph and the publication of the printing press, and he was the first to basically start a global magazine. So all of these things changed, communication changed, and so Sheikh Rashid Rida was a household name in his own lifetime, from Jakarta, Indonesia, all the way, to even the islands of the other side of the world. He would get fatwa anyway. So another tangent over there, alhamdulillah. Where was I? I don't have a live audience to ask where was I. I have to go back to my notes here. What were we talking about? I was talking about the issue of Sheikh Rashid Rida stating that the mizan are for the kafir and the Muslim. And he felt that this is Allah's infinite justice. Now, however, Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Qurtubi, Al-Nawi, many of the early ulama, the medieval ulama, many of them, they said that scales, the mizan, are only for the believers. Meaning, by believers, I don't mean the muttaqoon. I mean those who said they're believers. Because many of them are not actual believers and they're going to go to Jahannam. Many of them are hypocrites. Many of them are evil, even though they have some iman. So that's what's going to be the scale. As for the kafir, they said that there is no concept of mizan. And they brought evidences. Of those evidences, Surah Al-Kahf, verse 105, which is the most explicit evidence, that فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا, that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُ, those who disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that their deeds have basically gone to waste, and we shall not even place for them scales on the Day of Judgment. This is quite explicit actually. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. And Allah says in the Quran, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. All the good deeds that they sent forward, Allah says, we will scatter it into the dust and it will become useless. Why? They didn't do something for the sake of Allah, and so they shall not be rewarded by Allah. So when there are no good deeds, when all of their good deeds have been scattered into the dust, when they didn't do something that's going to be rewarded, what is the purpose of them to have a mizan? Ibn Taymiyyah writes in his Majmu' al-Fatawa that there shall be no weighing for the kafir because they don't have any good deeds to be weighed in the first place. For him, Ibn Taymiyyah says, the weighing is only for the believers, the fasaqa of them, and the mu'min of them, the impious and the pious. They're going to be the ones that will be weighed. And the impious of the believers, their scales will be light, and then they shall go to Jahannam. Now, this is an interpretation. At the same time, Sheikh Rashid Rida and others, they argue alternative positions, and of those positions is the issue of Surah Al-Mu'minun, that وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَوَلَاكَ الَّذِينَ خَسْرُ نَفُسُهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ, that whoever's scale was light. And the context of Surah Al-Mu'minun, it is talking about the kafir and the mu'min. And so it is as if there's an indication that there might indeed be scales for them. In any case, to be honest, this is one of those issues where there's no practical difference of opinion between the two positions. You're not going to change or gain anything. And so whether you believe the kafir is going to have scales that's going to have a justice there or not, it doesn't affect anything. And it's one of those controversies of our tradition that it's interesting for the students to read about, but there is no practical ramifications in this regard. Okay, so we talked about this issue, whether they're going to be Muslims only for the scales or Muslim and kafir. And I said the majority position is Muslim only, and their main evidence is the verse in the Quran. There is a dissenting position that both are going to have the scales, and the kafir will have light scales. Now, the second to last, the penultimate discussion is the issue of what will be put on the scales in the Day of Judgment? What exactly will be placed inside the scales? And once again, we have actually three opinions. And once again, all of these opinions have some evidence. And once again, there's no practical implication of the actual difference. Like, it doesn't really change the end result that something's going to be weighed. Three things are mentioned. The first of them, which is the most minority opinion, and in fact, it's pretty clear that this position is not the correct one, even though we respect those who said it. They say the human being himself will be placed in the scales. The human being himself will be placed in the scales. And on that day, it's not going to be your physical weight. Thank God for many of us who have too much weight in this world. We don't want to, we don't have to care about that in the Akhirah. Those who have weight in this world on the weight scale means nothing in the Akhirah. And this is actually a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, hadith in Sahih Bukhari, believe it or not. Our Prophet ﷺ said that a large, literally the word used is fat in Arabic, sameen. Sameen means lots of fat. Sumun is fat. a very big, bulky man will be brought on the day of judgment, and he shall not weigh a mosquito's wings weight on the day of judgment. Okay? And then Allah, the Prophet said, read if you wish the verse in the Quran, فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. We will not give them any weight on the day of judgment. So this hadith seems to indicate that the human being himself will be put on the scale. And our Prophet ﷺ is saying, a large man will come, and because he did nothing, because there's no good deeds, he will not even weigh the wings of a mosquito. Another hadith in a number of traditions, including Sahih Muslim and also Muslim Imam Ahmad and others, the longer version is Muslim Imam Ahmad, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said regarding the shin of Ibn Mas'ud. Pause here, footnote, what is going on here? Ibn Mas'ud, a great companion, one of the earliest of converts, somebody who was beaten up by the Quraysh for reciting Surah Al-Rahman in Mecca, somebody who was considered to be a low-class worker by the Quraysh. The Quraysh would dismiss him because he was not of their socio-economic and cultural status. He was an Arab, but he was not a Qurayshi. He was from one of the lower tribes, and he was a manual worker, a laborer. He wasn't a slave. And they would dismiss him, Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and let them dismiss him. In our tradition, he is, mashallah, the top of the top. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he had an issue with his legs, and his legs had a curvature. He had a bit of a deformity in his legs. And once he was climbing a tree to get a miswak to break from his, you know, from his for his brushing, they would brush their teeth using the miswak. And some of the younger Sahaba were sitting there, and because he's climbing the tree, so his shin is visible. His shin became visible. And the shin is, of course, beneath the knee and above the ankle. And so they could see the curvature of the shin. So some of them began to just laugh at that, which is, of course, not good to do. And our Prophet ﷺ saw them, and he said, do you laugh at the shin of Ibn Mas'ud? فَوَاللَّهِ it is heavier in the mizan than the mountain of Uhud. Now, this hadith firstly indicates we should not be making fun of people, and especially to make fun of people's appearance, because Ibn Mas'ud did not create himself, Allah created him. So to make fun of the creation is to make fun of the creator. To make fun of somebody, of how somebody looks, is to make fun of the one who put him in that way. And so that's very bad. And therefore our Prophet ﷺ became angry, and he said to them, how dare you laugh? And then, to strike the point home, who are you making fun of? He said, that leg that you're laughing at, it is heavier in the scales than the mountain of Uhud. Now what does that indicate? The hadith seems to indicate that Ibn Mas'ud himself will be placed in the scales. And that one shin of his that they're laughing at is going to be heavier than all of the mountain of Uhud, subhanAllah. But again, the point is that this hadith seems to indicate that the person will be placed in the scales, and what will be weighed is not the physical weight of the person, but rather the weight of his or her good deeds. The second point that they say, or the second opinion, is that what will be weighed is the good deed itself. The good deed itself. And the good deed will somehow transform into an icon, an object, an item. And it will then be a physical entity that will be placed in the scales. And the evidences for this are so many. Of them, the heaviest thing on the Day of Judgment will be good manners. So it's going to become something that will be placed there. أَثْقَلُ شَيْءٍ. Of them is, Alhamdulillah, fills the scales. Of them is, subhanallah yuhamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, makes the scales heavy. So what makes it heavy? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, good deeds. So the point here is that the deeds themselves will become physical, tangible realities. How? We don't know, we don't care. Allah will do it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transform these entities into actual physical things that can then be placed into the scales, and each one will have a mass of its own, and certain things will be heavier than other things. So this is the second opinion. The third opinion is that what will be placed in the scales is not the good deed nor the person. So remember, the first opinion, the person will be placed in the scale. The second opinion, the good deed will be placed in the scale. The third opinion, the scrolls of the deeds. So the scrolls of the good deeds will be placed on the right side, and the scrolls of the bad deeds will be placed on the left side. Okay? And this opinion is the majority one, and inshallah ta'ala it is the correct one, even though there's no practical ramification of the differences, and it also includes the second opinion within it. Because when the Prophet ﷺ says, Alhamdulillah fills the scales, you can also say what he means is that the scrolls that have Alhamdulillah written on it, the good deeds that have the good manners written on it, when it is placed in the scale, it will be the heaviest thing. And of the most explicit evidences for this is the famous hadith in Ibn Majah and others, that a man shall come with 99 scrolls of evil deeds, and they shall be placed on one side of the scale. And he shall not have any good deeds, and it will be said to him, go to Jahannam, until finally an angel will call out, wait, wait, there is one deed left. And so a card will come, and on that card there is La ilaha illallah on it. And the hadith says that bitaqa, that card, shall be placed on the other side of the scale. So what is placed on the scale? The scroll or the card of deed. And this, inshallah ta'ala, makes the most sense. And it, inshallah, incorporates. Now, as for the hadith of the man will come and he will be nothing, and Ibn Mas'ud shin, it doesn't mean that Ibn Mas'ud is going to sit in the scale. It means that this is a person whose deeds are so weighty that even one shin of his, metaphorically speaking here, is heavier than the entire mountain of Uhud. It means that you don't judge people based upon their outer looks, you judge based upon their deeds. It means that no matter how big you are or weighty you are, both physically and metaphorically, it means nothing on the Day of Judgment. And how skinny or light you are, or if you have a deformation, it means nothing on the Day of Judgment. What matters is your heart and your good deeds. So these are the three opinions. Number one, the person. Number two, the actual deed. Number three, the scrolls. And inshallah ta'ala, what makes the most sense is the scrolls. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, let's conclude with some miscellaneous points here about the mizan. And then inshallah, we'll pause for this week and then come back next week and talk about the hawd, which is of course one of the most interesting, one of the most famous issues of the Day of Judgment. And we finish off the mizan by a number of very theoretical controversies. They don't have much impact. And again, the issues of the mizan, subhanAllah, it's very clear, very straightforward. But as usual, our ulama love to discuss in a lot of detail. And sometimes those details are interesting. And a lot of times those details don't have any implication on our day-to-day lives. And so this is one of those things. I summarized many, many pages about mizan into one lecture. But I would like you to know that there are discussions. And of the discussions is that how many mizans will there be? Some have said that every person will have a mini scale. Some have said there's going to be one scale for all of mankind. And Allah knows how all of us will be judged by it, because again, this is in the realm of Allah. Some have said that there's going to be a mizan for every single ummah. And so there are multiple positions. For example, Imam al-Saffarini said, every ummah shall have its own scale. The famous Hassan al-Basri said, every human being will have a special scale for him. Unique scale for you. Al-Qurtubi and others said there's going to be one scale that is going to be used by all of mankind. And in the end of the day, Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. It is not something that we are you know, obliged to believe in about how many scales. What we need to know is that there is a scale and that our good deeds are going to be judged by those scales. And we conclude by stating here, the purpose of the mizan is to demonstrate tangibly, in a manner that our eyes can see, to show and to demonstrate Allah's infinite justice. And before we move on to the next, because now we're going to finish off, because now we're finishing off one stage of the Day of Judgment. We're going to have at least a few more lectures, and we're now moving on. But we were here for quite a few lessons talking about the actual reckoning. We talked about the ard. We talked about the hisab. We talked about the suhuf. Now we're talking about the mizan. And all of these put together, they demonstrate Allah's infinite justice. Allah is going to record. Allah is going to ask us. We're going to have a chance to defend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring evidences. Our own body is going to testify the good deeds and the bad deeds that the angels have written. There's going to be the one-on-one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one will be the intermediary. Allah will judge every one of us. No angel is going to be delegated. This is the judge of judges, and every one of us will be judged. And then to seal off all of this judgment, to demonstrate the actual reality, there's going to be a physical manifestation of the scales, and there will be a heaviness and a lightness of the scales. Now, before I finish off as well, a lot of people have this notion, it has been mentioned in the concept of shifa'ah as well and whatnot. What if the scales come and they are exactly equal in weight? And the response is, the hadith does not mention, the Quran does not mention explicitly what is going to happen if the scales are absolutely, even. And the reality is that these types of scenarios, there is nothing mentioned, so there's not much benefit talking about it. Let us not try to be on that level person that we're wondering what's going to happen. Let us make the scales heavy on the Day of Judgment. Let us increase our dhikr. Let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma thaqqil mawazinana. We want our scales to be heavy on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to magnify our deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put all of our good deeds on the scales of righteousness, and to eliminate our evil deeds so that there's nothing on the other side. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our scales the heaviest on that day, because that's the whole goal, brothers and sisters, of all of this knowledge. It's not just theoretical, it is practical, in the sense that believing in the scales will impact us. We want to increase the quantity and quality of good deeds, and we know from all of this that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْنِمُ أَحَدًا. Allah does not show injustice to anyone. No injustice. Everything is perfect. And the scales demonstrate, literally they demonstrate, it is a symbol of justice to this day across all cultures. And Allah Azza wa Jal will place the scales, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ, and those scales will demonstrate to us in front of our own eyes, these are your good deeds, these are your bad deeds, and see yourself, what was your life worth it, worthwhile or not in this regard. Let us make our life worthwhile. Let us make sure our scales are heavy on that day. And inshallah ta'ala, I'll continue next week talking about the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who drink from that hawd. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya man ajabta du'a Nuhin fantasar wa hamaltahu fi fulkika al-mashhuni. Ya man أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون